This dynamic message is brought to you by New Creation Church, San Antonio.
Here is the title of our series that we're starting today. Right with God, the truth about righteousness. And this is part one. Now, in part one, we are going to discuss a little bit of what righteousness is and how we get it. Now, what does it mean to have righteousness with God or to be right with God? If I were to stop you in the street and I was a stranger and I was doing interviews, you know, for my YouTube channel, and I stopped you and I said, hey, are you a believer? And you say, yes, I am. And I said, okay, please tell me what righteousness is. Please tell me what it means to be right with God. What would you say? What would your answer or answers be? It's interesting what people say. And here's what I would say. This is what my answer would kind of be in a brief way, without trying to get into an exegesis of scripture or try and teach a sermon or anything like that. I would say what it means to be right with God is it means to have right standing with God. Now, if we try and determine that with our feelings, I don't think anyone is ever going to be able to say, yes, I'm righteous before God, or yes, I have right standing with God. And here's the reason why, because we all mess up. None of us are perfect. And so to feel righteousness, to feel like you're right with God, if feelings determine your righteousness with God, you are depending on the wrong source to have right standing with God to determine that, okay? So my second answer would be is to be right with God or righteousness with God is the state of being right with God according to His standard. Not my standard, not someone else's standard, but God's standard. Would you agree with that? That's absolutely what righteousness is. It's the state or the condition of being right with God according to His standard. Then thirdly, I would say that righteousness means to be justified before God. In other words, to stand before Him as if I had never sinned. Because that's what justice is. That's what justified means. It means that justice took place. So if I have been justified, in other words, I now stand before God as if I had never sinned. Now again, who can determine that? If you go with feelings, if you go with behavior, if you go with attitude, you're never going to feel that way. You're never going to feel like you stand justified before God. But that's what righteousness means. That's what it means to be right with God. And so someone who is right with God then has no fear, no concern, and no reservation before Him. I mean, if we just look at ourselves and we just take our life, I don't think anyone could ever feel right before God. I don't think anyone could truly say, in and of myself, I have right standing with God. I am righteous before God. And then on top of that, we have to look at what most people say righteousness is, the common perspectives of righteousness. And so that's what I did. I actually went and I had a look in general, and through the years I've spoken to people in different religions, different denominations, people who say they believe in God, who don't necessarily go to church, then those who do go to church, they're very committed, they serve. But what I want to share with you now is the five most common perspectives that people have on righteousness. In other words, if you were to ask them, what is righteousness? What does it mean to be right with God? What does it mean to have right standing before God? This is what they would say. And so this is what I have on the screen that is going to come up now. Here are the five top things that people would say righteousness is, or how we get righteousness. These are the common perspectives on righteousness. Maybe one of them will be how you determine right standing with God. So let's see. Here's the first one. So righteousness, they say, is earned by good deeds. There are many religions, there are many sects within Christendom where people say righteousness or right standing with God is earned by good deeds. In other words, the more good you do, the better standing you have with God. Would you agree with that? I know that I used to believe that because that's what I was taught and that's what I felt how you can receive righteousness. And in actual fact, most people, I'm talking about non-religious people, non-believing people, but people who know that there is God, they call Him Mother Nature, they call God the universe, they have all these different labels for God, but they know there's a greater entity, which is God. And that's what they would tell you. To have right standing with Him, you need to be good. You need to do good. In other words, it's a work-based righteousness. In other words, you earn and deserve right standing with God. Now, here's the second most common perspective on right standing with God. We are going somewhere with all of this, okay? Righteousness, they say, depends on following religious rules, sacraments, and traditions. And you could put rituals in there as well. And so that's what some people believe. They believe that to have right standing with God depends on how well you follow the rules, the religious rules, how well you satisfy the sacraments and the ordinances and the rituals, and how well you follow the traditions. So to them, you know, grandfather went to church twice a month, so we go to church twice a month, and we read our Bible every day, one verse at least, and that's how we have right standing with God, you know, as an example. And then, of course, there are all different kinds of variations to that. But that is the most common perspective, the second most common perspective on how people say we have or we get right standing with God. Now, here is the third most common perspective on righteousness. People say righteousness is defined by our own moral compass. In other words, instead of God's standard, they say we have an internal standard within ourselves, and that's how we determine right standing before God. In other words, yes, it may be wrong for you to do this, but I don't believe it's wrong for me to do this, and so therefore, I have right standing with God because, you know, God deals with me one-on-one by my own moral standard. And you know yourself, you can tell right away, people's moral standards by their own is all different outside of God's standard. To some people, some things are right. They see it as morally right. And Scripture says different as an example. The fourth most common way that people see righteousness is they say that everyone is right with God because He is loving and does not ultimately judge sin. This is more of the universalist, the inclusionist kind of view of Scripture, of God. So, you know, God is loving, He is love, and so at the end of the day, you know, He's forgiving, He's merciful, He's not going to judge sin, He's going to forgive us all. And so really, at the end of the day, we're all going to stand right before God. We're all going to be okay. That's kind of the view. And then the fifth view that people have about righteousness, about being right with God, is the following. They say that righteousness is a gift from God, and it is received by faith in Jesus. And I believe out of those five most common perspectives on righteousness, that one, number five, is the most scripturally gospel truth correct definition of righteousness. Amen. See, to be right with God is a gift from God. He gives us righteousness as a gift, and we receive it by believing in Jesus and the finished work of the cross. In other words, He paid the price for our unrighteousness, and by doing that, He got us righteousness. Now, if that's what we are going to believe, which is gospel truth, then we need to make sure we believe it all the way, right? So don't ever doubt your righteousness if you believe that way. But just to clarify, what I want to do is I want to bounce back to those five reasons, and I want to show you just one portion of scripture that basically debunks that belief. And so I want to make sure that we understand that besides number five, those four most common perspectives that people have, even in the church, about right standing with God, how they are actually doctrinally, scripturally, biblically incorrect. And there's a reason why I'm sharing all this with you. This is a teaching series. It's to equip us, to train us, but also to solidify us in gospel truth. Because you may be listening to me right now, and you may not, at heart level, you may say it, you know, you may fake it until you make it. You may even speak the Christianese, but deep in your heart, you may actually not feel like you have righteousness or right standing with God. You may actually not feel like you are right with God. And you know, God doesn't want you to ever feel that way. He's made provision so that we don't ever have to doubt our right standing with Him. So let's just read one portion of scripture for each of those points that will debunk that very point. Now remember, the first one, it's not going to come up on the screen, but the first one was, this is that the most common perspective on righteousness is that it's earned by good deeds. You remember that? Well, look at Romans 4 verse 5 from the New Living. That's, we're reading from the New Living mostly today, okay? It says, but people are counted as righteous, watch this, not because of their work, but because of their faith, or you could say belief in God who forgives sinners. So how is one counted as righteous? As having right standing with God or being right with God, not by their works, not by what they do or don't do, but they are determined as righteous before God because they believe that God forgives. You see that? So for someone to say that righteousness is earned by good deeds, then they have to help us understand that portion of scripture. And that's one of many, right? So they need to help us understand that, because God said right there, people are not counted as righteous because of their good works. Right? In Isaiah, in actual fact, it says that our works are like filthy rags before God. So that debunks that one. So that's not how righteousness comes. So if you are trying to find a way to earn and deserve your right standing with God, if you think that what you do and all your labor and human effort and your religious things that you do, you know, your Christian things that you do, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do them, but you should do them because that's who you are, not because that's who you're trying to be. And so if it's good deeds, good works that you think makes you right with God, forget about it. That's not how it happens, right? The second thing, remember, was this is that people say righteousness depends on following religious rules, sacraments, and traditions. Well, here's a portion of scripture that debunks that too. Watch this, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, but those who depend on the law, what is the law? The law is all about religious rules, sacraments, and traditions. It's the old covenant law. That's how it operated, right? Before the cross. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under His curse. Oh my goodness. So if you are trying to be right with God by following religious rules, sacraments, and traditions, which is basically what the law of God is, then it says you are under the under His curse, under the absence of His blessing. See that? For the scriptures say, watch us, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all, in other words, the entire law, the commands that are written in God's book of the law. And who can fulfill a perfect standard as an imperfect person. No one. That's why you cannot have right standing with God by following religious rules, sacraments, and traditions. Then it goes on and it says in verse 11, "So it is clear that no one," notice, no one, "can be made right with God by trying." That's the most we can do, is try. "By trying to keep the law." Because no one can keep the law. Only Jesus could do that. "For the scriptures say, it is through faith, through believing, that a righteous person has life." In other words, you can only be righteous by believing that you are righteous. By putting your faith and trust in Jesus, basically, is what this is saying. So you can see that trying to follow rules and regulations and rituals and sacraments and traditions doesn't make you right with God. Can you see that? So that one goes out the window. Now, what about the third most common way people see righteousness? They say that righteousness is defined by our own moral compass. In other words, instead of God's standard, I have my own standard, how I define it. For example, you know, you may feel like it's not okay, you know, to live together before marriage, as an example. But for me, God understands it's okay. That's my own moral standard. Or you could say, well, I know that God told you not to take a box of pencils from your employer, but, you know, they have so much and it's okay. They won't even miss it. And God's okay with it, I believe, because it's all His provision. So, you know, for you, it may be wrong, but for me, it's okay. You see, that's when we have our own moral standard. That's when we make God's standard manageable for ourselves. And people who do that say that, you know, righteousness is defined by our own moral standard instead of God's standard. And Romans 10 verse 3 actually debunks that one. Watch this. It says, "For they don't understand God's way of making people right with Himself." Who is he talking about? He's talking about people who do just that, who try and determine their right standing with God by their own moral code. And he says they don't understand God's way of making people right with Himself. Refusing to accept God's way, see, His standard, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. So here you see a people who determined for themselves their own moral code, their own way of determining right standing with God. And Paul here says to them very clearly, they are deceived. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand how God makes people right. And they're off base. They're missing it all together. So that debunks that third most common view of how people become right with God, or people are right with God. Now remember, the fourth one was, they say that everyone is right with God because He is loving and He does not ultimately judge sin. Remember that? Well, look at John 5 verse 24. Look at what it says. It's going to debunk that too. This is Jesus speaking here. And He says, "I tell you the truth. Those who listen to My message and believe in God who sent Me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life." In other words, this infers that if someone doesn't believe, then they are condemned. So for someone to say, right standing with God, ultimately, God is loving, He's not going to judge sin, so we're all right with Him at the end of the day, well, then they need to help us understand this portion, right? Okay, so that was the fourth one. And then, of course, the fifth way, the most common way that people define righteousness is a gift from God, and it is received by faith in Jesus. Now, like I said to you, I used to think those other ways. In actual fact, before I understood gospel truth, my belief of right standing with God, first of all, I never believed that I had full, complete right standing with God, but I did believe that I could get close. And I had a combination of those four beliefs that we've just debunked with Scripture. And then when I received revelation of gospel truth, this is what I came to understand righteousness is, which is righteousness is a gift from God, and it is received by faith in Jesus. And one of the portions that shows us this is Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Look at this. It says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death," in other words, separation from God, "to rule over many. But even greater," watch this, "is God's wonderful grace," in other words, unearned, undeserved, "and his gift," notice the word gift, "of righteousness. For all who receive it," not all who earn it, who work for it, who have their own moral code, who try and achieve it, no. It says it's a gift, and all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So in essence, what this is saying is that Adam messed it up for us all, and Jesus fixed it up. And when we receive his gift and he makes right standing with God, or being right with God, he makes it a gift. And when we receive that gift by putting our trust in him and what he's done to redeem us, to get us that gift, then it says we will triumph over the state of sin and live in the state of righteousness. Do you see that today? It's pretty powerful. So that is the only one that cannot be debunked. That is the only correct perspective, correct view of right standing with God, of righteousness, that cannot be refuted by Scripture. Praise God. And you see, many struggle with the different perspectives and often have a blended view of those. But the truth is, and that's why we need clear biblical teaching on the subject. I know that many of you understand righteousness, but we need to be reminded and solidified in the righteousness that we have in Jesus. You could never achieve right standing with God. No one could. It's impossible. We are imperfect. We are descendants of a fallen being, naturally speaking. But we have been born again in our spirit, and we are in the likeness of Jesus. And because of that, we have been redeemed and being made righteous before God. We are given righteousness as a gift by putting our trust in what Jesus did and who Jesus is. Amen. And that's how we made right with God. So gospel truth says that we are made right with God by grace. Remember that? Through faith in Jesus. What is grace? God's unmerited blessing and favor. So you can never earn and deserve right standing with God. You can only receive it and then believe that you have it. So when you mess up, you believe that you are still right with God. When you haven't been behaving like you should, you still are right with God, because it's determined on the basis of what Jesus has done and you believing that, not on the basis of your merit or your performance or the lack thereof. Did someone hear what I just said? I hope you did, because that is gospel truth. And you see, here's the thing. If we don't believe right, then we won't live right. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, he was called the Prince of Preachers, who lived in the late 1800s, a phenomenal speaker from England, and he said, "Right believing results in right living." And that's why I say, if we don't believe right, we won't live right. This is why you cannot allow your feelings to determine your right standing with God. You have to let your faith, your belief, your trust and dependence in gospel truth and what God has done for you in and through Jesus to determine your right standing with God. Can I have a good amen from somebody? Thank you. Praise God. Now, there's something else that I want to show you from the last portion that we just read out of Romans 5, verse 17. Something else that I want to draw your attention to here. So we're going to put it on the screen. And I want to show this to you. Look at the words, that the portions that I've emboldened, because that's what I want to highlight here as well. Remember it said, for the sin. Notice it doesn't say the sins, and it's correctly translated, because this is talking about the state, the condition, more than it is about the actions, the sinful actions. So you could say it this way, for the sinful state of this one man, Adam, caused separation from God, that's death, to rule over many. We all became victims of that because we're all his natural descendants. But aren't you glad for the next word? It says, but, and praise God for that, but even greater is God's wonderful grace. Notice, righteousness comes by grace. And his gift, praise God that it is a gift of righteousness for all who receive it. So you need to receive it. In other words, believe and put your trust in it. Will live in triumph over the sinful state and separation from God through this one man, Jesus Christ. That's another way you could put that. So leaving that on the screen, I want to point out and mention some things that you see here. Some obvious things, but I want to remind you of them. Okay. First of all, it says that sin is what made us unrighteous with God. Would you agree with that? Okay. Then it says that righteousness is not something we earn or deserve. That's why the word grace is in there, right? So then thirdly, it says that righteousness is a gift, correct? And then lastly, it says that righteousness is received by faith. In other words, by believing it. So, to overcome the unrighteous nature we inherited from fallen Adam, we must first receive the free gift of righteousness God offers us in Jesus, and then we need to walk in it every single day. Am I right in saying that? Absolutely. I mean, it's just so wonderful that it says that. Praise God. Wouldn't you agree? So here's the thing. If you are trying to earn your righteousness, you're wasting your time. If you're trying to apply your own moral code, you're way off base. If you are trying to follow religious rituals and regulations and sacraments, that's not going to get you righteous. If you're trying to earn it through good deeds and good actions, it's not going to happen. You see, it is, and to believe that, you know, ultimately we're all righteous, well, clearly we're deceived if we believe that. Ultimately, righteousness, right standing with God, is a gift, and it is a gift of grace, and it's a gift that we receive, and we simply believe and stand on that belief. So yes, tomorrow some things may go wrong. You may not be at your best, but at the end of the day, you are still righteous before God because it's a gift. When I give you a gift, I cannot charge you for it. If I charged you, it's not a gift. If I said to you, well, here I'm giving you a gift, but I want you to earn it for the next 6 months, that's not a gift. A gift has no conditions. A gift has no stipulations. A gift has no nothing. It's a gift. And that's what we receive when we receive the gift of righteousness. So let me ask you a question. Are you righteous before God? The answer is yes. If you are still trying to let your feelings determine that, this is not based on feelings. It's based on gospel truth. Amen. You are as righteous before God as Jesus is righteous before God. And in the series, we're going to see that. So I don't want to run ahead of myself, but we who have received salvation in Jesus are right with God. Even when we are at our worst, we are right with God, because it is that righteousness was achieved, if you will, outside of our doing, outside of ourselves. It was done by God and it was gifted by God. right? And you see, when you have that kind of confidence, then you can surely have confidence that God will help you through any situation as well. I mean, I think about my daughter. My daughter is my daughter, and I love her to the moon, to Jupiter, to the outer parts of the galaxy, and even to the next galaxy, and even to the next universe. And even if there are multiverse universes, I love her beyond all of that. And that's truth, and I mean that. I love her to the furthest thing you can think of and back. And in my eyes, she will always have right standing with me. She can go and do the worst thing. She can go and get engaged in the worst of things. And I'm not encouraging her to do that. But even if she did, I can confidently tell you, I will always love my child. She will always be righteous before me, because to me, she's righteous. And I know those of you who are parents feel exactly the same way about your kids. Yes, they frustrate you sometimes. Yes, they irritate you sometimes. Yes, they disrespect you sometimes. Yes, they don't always follow good advice, and they make wrong choices and do wrong things. But ultimately, they're always your child. You're always going to love them, and you're always going to find a way to let that right standing manifest itself in their lives. Amen. And we are human. How much more will God do for those who put their trust and faith in Him for that righteousness? Amen. So, you know, if for any reason you have some struggle in your life, I know one time there was a young man who said to me, "Pastor, my parents don't know. We go to church. As far as they're concerned, I'm an angel." And he said to me, "But I do some things that I know wouldn't make them happy. One of them is smoking. I know that it's bad for me. I know they don't want me to smoke. But, and you know, I heard you," and this is one time when I shared about righteousness. He said to me, I don't always feel righteous. I mean, especially when I'm smoking secretly and privately, you know, behind their back, I don't feel righteous." And I said to him, "Well, you see, that righteousness is not based on feelings." And I said, "What you need to do is, as you puffing, remind yourself, I am righteous before God. I am right with God. I have the righteousness God gave me in Jesus." And I said, "You will find that over time, that belief, that conviction will take over your entire being. And I believe that smoking will just go away." And you know, it was a few weeks later, he came back to me and, you know, he was giving me feedback and he was so excited. He said, "Pastor, I've been doing that. Even when I was smoking, I would remind myself that I'm righteous before God." And he says, "You know, about 3 days ago or so, I just lost the desire for it. I just couldn't stomach it. I put one in my mouth and it made me want to puke. I just couldn't handle it." You see, that's what understanding that you're righteous will do. It will manifest from the inside out. But it doesn't change the fact that you are right with God. Amen. I hope somebody's receiving this. And you know, this is one of the reasons why those who subscribe to a legalist gospel, to a legalist interpretation of gospel truth, well, it's not even truth, because if it's legalistic, it's not truth entirely. But anyway, so, but those who subscribe to anything but gospel truth, I know they hate us preaching these things, saying these things, but you cannot debunk it. You cannot take away gospel truth. I know that in the series, we're going to talk about things like, can you lose your righteousness? The short answer is no, because if it's not based on your merit and performance, and if it's by grace, and if it's a gift, how can you lose something that you're gifted? Why will God take it back? Why will His grace no longer apply? But I want to solidify you in that, because the more we stand in the righteousness that we have in Jesus, the more solid, the more victorious we will be over sin and death and everything else that the devil tries to throw at us. Amen. So let's end off with one portion that I believe will bring everything we've shared with you today home, and then we'll finish, okay? So 10 verses, Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. Watch us. It's a beautiful portion that is self-explanatory, that will bring everything home for you and me about righteousness. Watch us. Romans 3, verse 21. "But now," talking about new covenant, "God has shown us a way to be made right with God, with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. In other words, righteousness doesn't come by law keeping, okay? As was promised by the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. In other words, the Old Testament prophesies about the righteousness we'll have in Jesus beyond the cross. Verse 22, we are made right with God, here we go, by placing our faith, our belief, our trust in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. See, you are made right with God by grace. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. See that? The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. In other words, even those of the Old Testament get to have righteousness in Jesus. Verse 26, for He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in the present time. In other words, the Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament rituals were a type of Jesus, and that's how they also got in on the righteousness that we get to have in Jesus in the New Testament, the New Covenant. God did this but to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He, watch this, makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Isn't that powerful? Verse 27. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God or to be made righteous with God? No. See, you can't do anything. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith, on believing. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. In other words, by grace, not by law, not by merit or performance. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't He also the God of the Gentiles? In other words, the non-Jews. Of course He is. There is only one God, and He makes people right with Himself only by faith. Look at that. Whether they are Jews or Gentiles, well then, if we emphasize faith, doesn't this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill, or you could say establish, the law. Now that last statement is a little confusing, and we're going to get into it a little bit more because we're running out of time. But notice here in this entire portion, some things that I want to highlight here. It says that under the old covenant, righteousness had to be achieved through law keeping. And then it shows us that it was an impossibility. It could not be achieved. So if you are trying to achieve righteousness, you are still relating to God by law. And don't do it. It's not going to get you there. But then also we saw in that portion that under the new covenant, righteousness is given to us by grace and received by faith. Right? So if you've done that, you are righteous before God. And then that last little portion there said, remember that it is, we don't ignore the law, we don't just, you know, neglect the law now, because it's in actual fact that when we believe, that we fulfill or establish the actual law. And so, to give you a little taste, and we'll break this down a little more in the series, okay? How does faith then fulfill or establish the law? Well, one of the ways that it does is by confirming its true purpose. You see, the law reveals sin, and it points us to Jesus. That's how the law is fulfilled, when we believe. But also, Jesus fulfilled the law for us, remember? And so through faith in Him, we receive the righteousness that the law required, which we could never achieve on our own. And so the law is fulfilled. Maybe I shouldn't have shared all this at the end because it's almost throwing off everything else I've shared. But we'll get into this a little more, okay, in the series. And then, of course, the third way that believing establishes the law is that the righteousness the law required is now who we are in Jesus, and it is written in our hearts, and thus it is fulfilled in us, not by us. And maybe you need to just ignore that last little bit I shared, because we'll break it down, but don't let it take away from the core of this message, which is you and I have right standing with God, not because of what we do or what we don't do, but because we believe and we put our trust and faith in Jesus and what he did to redeem us. So are you righteous before God? The answer is yes. Are you right with God? The answer is yes. Do you have right standing with God? The answer is yes. And it's because you put your faith and trust in Jesus and the finished work of the cross. So if your heart were to stop beating today and you entered heaven, first of all, yes, you will enter heaven. Salvation cannot be lost. It can be rejected, but it cannot be lost. So you will enter heaven and you will automatically carry the righteousness you have now into eternity, because it is the very same righteousness that will last forever. Amen.
We trust that you are blessed by today's message. For more information about our church, our service times and location, or to make a donation to help us spread the gospel of God's love and grace, please visit our website at newcreationchurchsa.com.